Thank you so much, Bill. Good morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. As you're turning, I just want to mention, too, something that was not in the bulletin, and that's that the young adults will be meeting in one of the Sunday school rooms down the hallway this evening at 5:30 for their Bible study and fellowship time. And then they will be coming in with us at 7. And our brother Stephen Roten, who he'll be sharing about the ministry that he has been involved in Ensenada, Mexico. And he and his wife Sarah, his new wife Sarah, his only wife Sarah, but his new wife Sarah, will be going to very soon down in Ensenada. So we encourage you to come out. I'm sure he'll have some PowerPoints, some pictures to learn more about what this brother commended from this assembly. And now he and his wife commended from Shannon Hills Bible Chapel out into the Lord's work there in Mexico. And we want to encourage you to be here tonight. We think that you'll really be a blessing as he shares about that work and also from the scriptures. As Bill said, I just want to encourage all you ladies particularly, just make sure you check out the pink sheet, not during the message. Preferably, if it gets really boring, go ahead. I'd rather you read this than go to sleep because you might snore. So, but it's not, it's a lot of things, Bible study, but beyond Bible study, a lot with fellowship, different activities, and we encourage the ladies to really take a look at that. I'm sure it's going to be a blessing, and the men are going to say, hey, we need something like that. You know, why don't we have men to men? So we'll see how the Lord leads. It's been a blessing for me as we've been looking at this theme of one anothering. In 2017, the theme that the elders have selected for our assembly, and looking at the one another commands in the New Testament letters. How many of you saw the banner up on the wall at any time of the day? It's up on that wall. Did raise your hand high if you saw that banner, one anothering, in 2017, Romans 12:5. We are members of one another, and we've been focusing on that on some of the Sunday mornings, and other times as well. And we want to continue that this morning. Last Sunday morning, we talked about loving one another. And as I think about loving one another, and we mentioned last week that really all of these one another commands really tie in together. But as I think about that one that we did last Sunday morning, loving one another, it's like when you open up the floodgate of loving one another, everything starts flowing out. So when you look at what we're going to look at today, putting one another first in 2017, you see how it just comes flowing out with this idea of loving one another. And when we truly love one another, these other things, I'm not saying they're just going to fall in place because they're different commands given to us, different instructions that God has seen that we need, but we see that they just really flow together so beautifully, and I'm very thankful for that. We saw last week, we used the definition of love as the attitude of desiring the best for the one loved, which expresses itself in the action of seeking the best for the one loved. So the attitude and the action, desiring the best for the one that I say I love. And then that expressed in an actual action as I show that love and demonstrate that love. Well, that really is the background for this idea of putting one another first. I think this is one way, one major way, that loving one another is really put into practice, fleshed out, lived out in our lives. And so if I say that I love you, but I'm not willing to put you first, then do I really love you? What does it mean to put someone first? Well, we're going to be looking at that this morning, but when we say putting first, the idea really is putting ahead of me, first before me. Now, we know that in a sense, we would say we're putting God first. He's above all. But when we putting one another first, we're not going to find this specific phrase in the New Testament. We're going to draw it from several passages. But when we say that, the idea is putting someone ahead of us or before ourselves. It was really interesting. I did a number of internet searches this week and studying. And one I put in there, putting others before yourself. And you know what? The first, I think, probably five of the first seven that came up were basically this. How to stop putting others ahead of yourself. Okay? Now, that's not what I was looking for. But I thought, that's what the world's saying. The world is saying, stop putting other people ahead of yourself, and you put yourself first. I was blown away when I saw that. I wouldn't have believed that's what would come up, but that's what came up. And you know, as I think about that, and I think about Paul's challenge to us in Romans 12 and verse 2 to not be conformed to this world, I thought, wow, here's an area where it's so easy to be subtly conformed to this world. Where the world says, stop putting other people ahead of yourself. Put yourself ahead of other people. And what we're going to see this morning is the exact opposite. But we live in a culture that's saying, stop putting others ahead of yourself, when God is saying, go put others ahead of yourself. We're going to address this issue this morning with three threes. We're right getting close to March Madness, and I love basketball. I'm not that interested in professional basketball. You know, I'll maybe look and see how the Hornets are doing, which usually isn't too well. But I love college basketball. This actually is pro basketball. That's Steph Curry, who's an amazing three-point shooter. But if you don't know much about basketball, you notice that arc there, I would say above the free throw line, but if you don't know what a three-point line is, you don't know what a free throw line is either. So, but the furthest arc that you see out there, where he's standing behind it, and that little arrow, that's not real, by the way, if you don't watch basketball. But that's showing where his shot's going to go into the basket. But when you shoot behind that arc, you get 3 points. One of the things I read up, and I'm not going to spend time, that's not why we're here. Very interesting, the history of the three-point shot. If you sometimes you just have a minute and you want to check into that, that's very interesting. The man who was kind of behind that and how that came to be, an interesting story. But the reason I tell it is, and Steph Curry, I think he ought to get 4 points for that shot. I mean, you look where he's shooting. He ought to get 4 points for it. But he gets 3 points. A trifecta, they call it sometimes, a tray, a three-pointer. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to have three threes to help us in understanding and applying the challenge to put one another first in 2017. So, first of all, we're going to have three scriptural commands. Three scriptural commands. The first one we're going to look at is in the passage where I ask you to turn, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, I'll pause right there. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got to say yes, 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 yes to all of those ifs, okay? If that's true, then Paul says in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Notice verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. There in verse 3, let each esteem others better than himself. That others, and I'm reading from the New King James here, it's the same in the Greek as what we have as one another. Same thing, one another. So let each esteem one another better than himself. I want you to notice, first of all, the context here in verse 2, he mentions there having the same love, okay? There's a like-mindedness, there's a being of one accord, of one mind, but I want you to notice the same love. We talked last week again about loving one another. in the context of this idea of putting one another first, and here esteeming one another better than is based in love. The love that we read in Romans 5 that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, and He has already done it. He has already shed abroad the love of God in your heart. And you might not feel it, and you might not be a channel of it, but He's put it there, and He's there, and it continues to flow into you, the love of God for you, but the love of God to flow back to Him and also out to others. And particularly as our study is this morning, and we've been looking at the idea of one another, we're talking about other believers in the Lord Jesus. So we see that context there of love, and we also see that context at the in the middle of verse 3 of lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. I'm short, so does that mean my mind is lower than a tall guy's? Because mine's down here and his up here? No, obviously that lowliness of mind is just humility. It's humility. Someone has said humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It's thinking about others rather than thinking about yourself. And here's the idea of esteeming one another better than ourselves, in verse 4, again, we're challenged to look not only for our own interests. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is not saying, quit thinking about yourself. And again, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. We still have to be concerned about ourselves, our health, our own spiritual vitality, our families, our responsibilities. But he's saying, don't only think about yourself. Don't put yourself first. Rather, put others first. And so here we have this idea of esteeming one another better than ourselves. We're going to say it this way, put one another first in importance. Esteeming better. Now you might say, well, when I work with this believer and I'm the boss and he's just a worker, he works for me. How can he be more important than me? Again, this is an attitude. This doesn't mean that in every way this person is more important. I can guarantee you that to your wife, that guy's not more important than you are to her, okay? But the idea is, I'm thinking about importance. I'm thinking about putting this brother, this sister in Christ, in my mind in such a way that I'm regarding them as more significant than me when it comes to certain things. We're going to look at that. Okay, let's go to another passage. Keep this one in mind, and maybe if you got a bulletin you want to stick in there, put that pink paper down you're reading and stick it right here. I know you're reading it. Put it right here, save your place, and go to Romans 12, okay? Romans 12, we've already mentioned several things about Romans 12. One, that warning not to be conformed to this world, and we're not just given the negative, we're given the positive there, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be totally changed by having your thinking changed. This is one area where our thinking needs to be changed, because it's not going to be shaped by our old nature in this way. It's not going to be shaped by the world. We've already seen that from the internet search. Surely not going to be shaped that way by the devil. Those are our enemies. And then in Romans 12:5, we mentioned that we are members in one body, we're members of one another. Notice here in chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. There is love again. Love keeps popping up when we're talking about this idea of putting others before ourselves. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference to one another. Again, we see the context of love. Not a love that is hypocritical. Not a love that says, I love you, but doesn't really, because you don't put the other person first. We see here that we're to have a brotherly love. We're to love like family. That's another one of the one another's that we'll look at some point, hopefully. But we need to have a family love. And some of you are sitting, I see some of you sitting by your siblings. A lot of you sitting by your spouses, and you're thinking, hey, I don't know if I want to love like a brother or not. You know how my brother beats on me or used to beat on me when I was a little kid? I don't want to love like a brother. But you know how families are in general. They might beat on each other, but don't let anybody else try to beat on them, right? Or there's going to be some trouble going back the other way. In honor, preferring one another. There's another way to look at this that some translations, and if you have the English Standard Version by any chance this morning, you're going to see more of this thought. And in the Greek, either one of them could be true. Here we have in honor giving preference to one another, but the thought in some of the translations and some of the commentators is actually in giving honor, outdoing the others, because that word preference can it means to lead. So it could be that the idea here is to outdo each other in showing honor to each other. I often think about a similar concept in marriage. You know, if as husbands we're seeking to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and our wives are seeking to submit themselves unto their husbands as unto the Lord, we're like trying to outdo each other. I'm trying to love Kim like Christ loved the church, and she's trying to submit to me as unto the Lord, and we're trying to outdo each other. Wouldn't it be better to argue about that than the things we argue about, because we're being selfish and we won't put the other person first? But this idea of preferring one another or trying to outdo one another in honoring one another. Here we're going to call this putting one another first in value. That word honor really carries the thought of value. And when we honor someone, we are saying you're of great value. I value you, and therefore I bestow honor upon you. So here we're saying, we're getting that mindset, that attitude, that this other believer, these other fellow Christians, they are more valuable than me. Now, that's in my thinking. Not that I'm trying to make myself feel worthless. That's not the point. The point is that their value, in my mind, is so great that I want to put them first. Not necessarily because they deserve being first, but because I value them. So here we have in honor, preferring one another. So we see both of these thoughts are very similar. And there's one other passage we're going to look at, one other scriptural command, and it's over in 1 Peter. So the Spirit of God used Paul to write these first two commands, and now he uses Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we've looked not too long ago at the first four verses of this passage, thinking about elders and their responsibility shepherding the flock. And now he switches gears just a little bit, and he talks about the idea of submission. And here we have the challenge to submit to one another. Another one another command. That's a tongue twister. Another one another. Okay. Here we go in verse 5 of 1 Peter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. And us older folks like to say, yeah, let's stop right there. That's good. Just memorize the first part of that verse, okay? You young people. Yeah, you submit to us as elders, and you should. You should. There's a submission there that is very appropriate. But it's interesting how he follows that. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. In this context, we don't have love, but we do have that humility that we saw back in Philippians 2. We have it pop up again. Humility. Thinking less of ourselves and focusing our attention on others and their needs. Submit to one another. Here we have the idea of putting one another first in rank. This idea of submitting really could be a military term. thinking of rank. And again, here we're not talking about actual living out the rank in that sense, because if we're going to all submit to each other, we can't all be the general, all right? Sorry, it doesn't work like that. We can't all be the general. That's another name for that is anarchy, okay? The idea here is to have that attitude, is I want to put you ahead of me. I want to put you ahead of me. That's the thought in all three of these scriptural commands that we have. The idea of the context of love, the idea of the context of humility, and in saying, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put you first. So here's how we might just summarize that. Putting one another first means choosing to regard one another as more than yourself. More than yourself. Choosing. It's a choice. It's not going to come naturally. I can guarantee you that. It's choosing to regard, to have that attitude. We're going to talk about some practical things as we move along, but putting one another first means choosing to regard one another as more than yourself. More important, more valuable, higher in rank. That's how I want to see you, every one of you. When it comes to my decisions to be made, and again, we're going to get deeper into that as we move along. So that's our first three. Three scriptural commands. Secondly, three self-exam questions about putting one another first. So as we hear those scriptures, you know, often we read the scripture and then we get right on to the next scripture, right? That's when we're in our Bible reading. When God's wanting us to say, stop, okay, how does that apply to me? How does that affect me? Is there a question I need to ask myself? Or that the Spirit of God would want me to ask myself regarding this? So I've kind of narrowed it down to three, and some of them have little sub-questions involved in them. And these are ones that are really cutting deeply within me. Okay? And I hope that the Spirit of God, if needed, will use it in your life. Here's the first question. Am I assuming... That should be that, not the. Am I assuming that my way is the only right way? Now, again, we're going to make some clarifications because there are situations where that's going to be true, not because it's my way, but because it's God's way. But am I assuming that the only right way is my way? Maybe that's because it's the majority way, and you think, well, most people believe like I do, so that makes it right. Or, well, that's the traditional way, and that's the way we've always done things, and if you want to do something different, I'm not putting you ahead of me, I'm sorry. Because this is the traditional way. Or maybe it's the easy way. What's wrong with you? Why do you want to do it the hard way? Why don't you do it the easy way? I'm not going to put you first. Or maybe it's just my preferred selfish way. Am I somehow evidencing, this isn't the second question, it's under that question, but am I somehow evidencing that I think that I deserve things my way? That I deserve you to do what I want to do, not for me to do what you want to do. And not for us to share 50-50, but hey, I deserve, I've earned it, I've whatever. You fill in the blank, I don't want to fill it in for you. And I deserve that. I'm not putting that person ahead of me. No way. Sometimes we might even be demanding. Demanding that our preferences are given preeminence. Here's the second question. We're going to kind of hurry through these. We've got a lot to cover here. Here's the second question. As I think about someone else who prefers something differently than me, And maybe I'm been struck a little bit by that first question. If I had the attitude that my way is the only right way and anything else is wrong and nothing else should even be considered, at least not in the setting where I am, well, if that kind of catches you a little bit, maybe this second question can be a good follow-up. Have I tried to view things from their perspective? Is there a reason? Is there a logical, legitimate, biblical reason that they prefer this other thing or that they're like they are? Have I ever stopped to think, why do they do that? Why do they like that? Why do they talk like that? Why do they dress like that? Why do they sing like that? Why do they make those choices? could it be that their opinion is a legitimately biblical alternative? Not that it's unbiblical and not that it's illegitimate. Is it possible that my view is not the only potentially acceptable view to God? Is that possible? We're just asking questions right now. We're not giving answers. We're asking questions. Here's the third question. Have I asked the Lord to soften my heart, if necessary, toward others, and to reveal any self-centeredness in me to me? I think of the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, where he prays, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Dare I pray that in this context? Lord, show me. Lord, show me my own heart. Show me maybe there's some self-centeredness. Show me there may be some pride. God, resist the proud, we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Lord, is there pride in my heart? Is there a hardness that demands my way and only my way, and I'm not willing to put others first? Lord, show me. And Lord, if my heart needs to be softened, Lord, will you soften my heart toward this brother? Lord, will you soften my heart toward this sister? I don't understand them. I don't like what they like. And yet, Lord, you are telling me to esteem them better than myself. You're telling me to prefer them in honor, to outdo them in showing honor to one another. Lord, you're telling me to submit to them. Soften my heart, Lord, if I need to have it softened. Reveal any self-centeredness in me. Those are three exam questions. Self-exam. Self-exam for all of us. God, help me to see. The Lord tests the heart. Proverbs 17:3. The Lord tests the heart. That's where this is coming from, ultimately. You see, honest self-examination under the direction of the Holy Spirit can reveal my true attitude of heart. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we need exposed. Our true attitudes of heart. My heart needs to be exposed. God already knows what it is. Do I know what it is? Honestly. So there's our second set of threes. Three self-exam questions. What's my assumption? What's my view? What's my request? So that'll bring us to three practical applications, and that's where we'll settle in for the rest of our time as we continue to seek to make application and seek to answer in our own hearts and our own lives this thought of putting others first, putting one another first, other believers. Three practical applications. Firstly, putting one another first accurately. Okay? There needs to be accuracy. We understand that. There needs to be accuracy, whatever we're doing. If we're doing our taxes, if we're doing our job, if we're raising our children, if we're answering a question about the Bible, there needs to be accuracy. We want to be careful about that. You know, sometimes our struggle with putting others first is just a matter of plain old selfishness. Sometimes that's what it is. I want what I want. And I don't want what you want. So guess who's going to get what they want? It's not you. It's me. Sometimes that's what it is. Just selfishness. Hard-headed, hard-hearted selfishness. But sometimes it hinges on what we believe. Okay? What we believe. And that's important. And we need to be accurate in what we believe. And I think we also need to be accurate in discerning in which of three levels that I'm going to mention, three levels of belief that a specific belief falls. Sometimes our unwillingness to put somebody else first is because we believe, again, our way is the only way. And sometimes that's true. And we're going to see that in these three levels of belief. These are not original with me, but here they are, and they can be said in different ways. And some people may add a fourth one to this, but we're just trying to get an idea here. Essentials, convictions, and preferences, okay? Essentials. We're talking biblically here. Biblical essentials. Essentials are biblical truths that must be accepted and believed in order to be a Christian. Not in order to say I am a Christian. Not in order to say I'm not a Muslim or a Buddhist or an atheist, I'm a Christian. No, I mean to be a true, born-again Christian, we must believe these things, okay? And there's no compromise here. These are things that we should be willing to die for. These are things that are essential for the gospel and for salvation. And these are things that if are not believed by another person, that another is not a one another, okay? So that's not the issue here then. Because we're talking about things like the existence and the authority of God. If God is not the creator of all and everyone, and God is not the one to whom we have to answer, then the whole thing is a big charade, okay? But God says he is real, and God proves his existence and his reality and his character, and we must believe what he says about himself in order to be saved. We have to believe in the sinfulness of humanity, that everyone is a sinner. Primarily me. You saying that, not me. You don't have to believe that I'm a sinner in order to be saved, but you have to believe that you're a sinner. Okay? And until you can, and if somebody doesn't believe they're a sinner, they don't believe they've done anything wrong, then they can't be rescued from that because they're not going to want to be rescued or see the need of it. Everyone's a sinner. It involves the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is fully God. And became fully man while continuing to be fully God in a way that we can't understand. And that he came as the sinless one and lived a perfect life and died on the cross as our substitute. And God put our sin on himself. And I'm not saying you have to be able to verbalize all of that, but you have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he says he is and who God the Father presents him to be in the Scripture. And you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus that he died for your sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day. You have to believe that. And if somebody doesn't believe that, then it's not a matter of putting them ahead of yourself because they're not a one another. I'm not saying there aren't situations where you still should put other people that aren't believers ahead of yourself. But this is not one of them. We don't compromise here. No, we should be willing to die for the essentials. And then the second group is the convictions. Now, these are biblical truths of which we are convinced, but which are interpreted differently by other godly, Bible-believing Christians. There are things that people don't agree 100% on, and it doesn't mean that they're not saved. If they don't understand the end times like I understand the end times, that doesn't mean they're not saved and going to heaven. If they don't take the concept of predestination presented in the Scripture and interpret that in the same way that I do, that doesn't mean they're not saved. We teach here that women cover their heads in the gatherings of the assembly, gatherings of the meeting. If you don't ever put a covering on your head as a woman, that in no way says you're not saved. You can never put a covering on your head and still go to heaven, you see. That is a conviction. That's a conviction. That's not an essential. We don't die for, probably, most of us wouldn't die for a conviction. But we would debate a conviction strongly. And we would stand on it because we're convicted about it. And so we seek to follow that, whatever the conviction may be. So we debate that. And then there's the preference. Now, this is really where we are with what we're talking about today. This is really what I believe about non-biblical issues. Now, every issue for the Christian is a, we could say in some way it's a biblical issue, but I'm talking about things that aren't addressed directly in the Bible. when I say non-biblical. We still go to the Word of God. We always do. But we've already had one level of interpretation on the convictions. Well, now we come down to yet another level of interpretation and application in this idea of preferences. This really gets down to what I like and what my opinion is and what I choose. Most of the beliefs which are relevant to putting one another first fall into this category. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about these preferences. Now, the reason that I say accuracy is necessary, because obviously there's going to be a problem if something that is a preference is held and presented as a conviction or even as an essential. If I think that blue carpet is the only right color carpet to be in a place where a local church gathers, then, and I say that God teaches that because He made the sky blue, and I find that in heaven. I mean, I find that in the Bible, and so, you know, hey, you say, well, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But a lot of the other things that we may try to hold as convictions, they're really preferences if we're honest about it. And that's where the honesty comes in, looking at that and seeking to be accurate, looking in the Scripture and making sure that it's backed up by the Scripture. You see, preferences are something that we can discuss. We die for the essentials. We debate the convictions, and we discuss preferences. Because a lot of times there's good reason, and good even biblical reason for it. Wisdom. But we need to be careful. The second application here is putting one another first corporately. Corporately. That's when we gather as a local church, corporately. You know, in this room this morning, particularly on that level of preferences, there are multiple preferences. Multiple. And so there's no way that I can put everybody in this room first. Because if some of you prefer a black suit, and some of you prefer a yellow sport coat, and others prefer whatever this is, gray, I'm not sure what that kind of design here is. You know, I can't, well, I guess I could wear three sport coats at once, get three different sizes, but only one of them would show. So you see, the idea is not that everybody gets what they want because they're the one another, and that goes back to the outdo. See, this goes both ways. Normally, when we think about this, we think, yeah, they ought to put me first. Yeah, if that person really loved me, they would put me first. And they would defer to my preference. The idea is, no, I'm regarding you as more important, you more valuable. We need to try to outdo each other. That's the idea here. In doing what would be best. In second, we don't have time to turn there. I'm running short here as it is. 2 Corinthians 8, though, verses 13 to 15. Make a note of that if you want to. Paul is talking there about finances, and he's talking about one group of believers giving to another group of believers because the second group of believers were really in dire straits financially because of persecution against them. And he's saying the point is not that you be strapped so that they can have an abundance. That's not the point, for you to take your abundance and give it all to them. No, he said the point is an equality. An equality, that's the goal. A likeness in condition or proportion is what that word equality means in the Greek. A likeness in condition or proportion. God's the only one that gets His way all the time, okay? And we don't. And He doesn't always tell us exactly what His way is. Okay, there's a couple of things we're going to look at here. One, when an issue inconveniences me, when an issue inconveniences me and when an issue irritates me. Here's a couple of examples that have come to my mind. An issue inconveniences me. You know, today, I don't know why so much in our society, but there are a lot of strange diseases. You notice that? A lot of weird stuff. People coming up, it's like, where in the world? I never heard of that. And there's a lot of very unusual sensitivities and allergies. I'm not talking about emotional sensitivity. I'm talking about physical sensitivities and allergies. One of those is to fragrances. Now, some people think that is ridiculous. Mister, you just don't like the way my cologne smells. You don't like my perfume, and so you say you're sensitive to it. Now, there are people that physically are affected by fragrances. And so I think about putting one another first. You know, here's something that physically hinders a one another, a fellow believer, from assembling with the believers. Am I willing to not wear perfume or cologne to the meetings? Because if I do, I'm affecting somebody's breathing. Now, there are times we're trying to outdo each other, but the guy or the woman that can't breathe because we're wearing a fragrance, I mean, they don't really have a choice. Okay, I just won't breathe. I'll put you first, you wear cologne, and I won't breathe. Hey, this will work out great. You know, that's not an area, they can't do that, all right? And there are actually people that can't come to our meetings because of that. You know, we've addressed this in the past in a way, but I'm trying to get us to think about this, Here's a couple other things. I'm just throwing, again, it goes both ways. The fragrance thing, you know, not breathing, yes, but most of them go both ways. Sometimes people get inconvenienced because somebody brings a child into the meeting, and that inconveniences them. Maybe it distracts. You know, again, we're going both ways. Can I put that person first? Maybe they have a reason that they feel like they need to bring their child into the meeting. On the other hand, for the people bringing their child in, they want to say, hey, I need to be sensitive to the others. Maybe I am distracting them. So you see, we're trying to outdo each other here. We're having that attitude. Maybe a seating arrangement. Sometimes we're like Baby Bear. Somebody's been sitting in my chair, and they're still there. You know, put one another first. You know, I know I like to sit in the same place, and I do. But am I going to get all bent out of shape about it? What about when things irritate me? Punctuality. Mark Shelley irritates me. People are sometimes late coming into a meeting. Not as noticeable here in the Lord's Supper. It's more noticeable. So again, we're trying to put each other first. The person who maybe tends to be late habitually can say, hey, I need to put them first. I need to do something. Set my alarm clock earlier, go to bed earlier, do something. Other times, you know, we need to be sensitive. People have issues. People have issues, and they maybe can't get there, or they get there and they can't get in the room. There's a lot of, I think we need to put each other first. God thinks that. You know, can we give each other a break? And when Mark Shelley never ends on time, see, I'm hurting myself here. Anyway, all right, if you get up and leave, I won't be offended, all right? I'll say, I'll put you first. Go on. You hear the story about the guy who he got up and left the meeting while it was still going on. The preacher said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, why didn't you get a haircut before you came in here? He said, I didn't need one when I came in here. Okay. So I'm not going to be that bad, all right? All right, quickly. Maybe it shouldn't be quickly. I look at my wife and she's, how quick should I be? She gives me good counsel. Now she's looking down. All right, real quick. Music style, okay? Music style. Variety of music styles in the world, in the church. When I say the world, I mean universally. I'm not talking about worldly music, though that's true as well. Variety of music styles with Christian words to that. You know, I want to bring out here, and I'm going to go ahead and tie in style of clothing together because we're hurrying here. I'm going to put those together. Putting someone first doesn't mean that we only can listen to their kind of music, okay? I think that's something we get, well, if I put them first, that means we only listen to their music and nobody else's. No, never mind. That's not it. We go back to 2 Corinthians 8. The idea is equality. It's not that you get all your music and we only sing your kind of music. We only listen to your kind of music when we come together. But rather that, can't we put each other first and share? I might not like a particular kind of music. Is it going to hurt me to listen to a song like that? To sing a song about the Lord Jesus? For crying out loud, I can't sing a style I don't like about the Lord Jesus. Is that an essential? No. Is it a conviction? Some people would put it in that group. I would put it in the preference group when it comes to style. Can we put one another first? A willingness to not insist on only my style of music being sung, but a balance of style. Because we're members of one another. Therefore, I should be willing for the preference of others to be considered as legitimate. As legitimate as my own preferences. Same thing with clothing. I've got on a coat and a tie. If I wasn't preaching, I may or may not have on a coat and a tie. Do we judge others because they wear a tie and not a coat? Or they wear a coat and not a tie? Or they wear a t-shirt and not a dress shirt? These are preferences. And we're supposed to put each other first. Not that I have to wear a t-shirt to the meeting because you do. But if you want to wear a t-shirt, that's fine. Don't be mad at me if I wear a tie. Okay? You know, we put each other first. There's an equality. There's a balance there. We could go much further into that. And finally, as we close, putting one another first personally. This can go way everywhere, okay? Way everywhere. We think about, how do we do that? I mean, how do I do that? I think a lot of it comes back to not being judgmental, but accepting that people have different perspectives and different viewpoints and not having that critical spirit, but rather say, I want to put you first. I want to be sensitive to what you're thinking. You know, I don't understand why you eat like you do. I don't understand that. I don't understand why you exercise like you do or you don't. I don't understand why you do or don't use birth control. I don't understand why you have family of a certain size or not. I don't know why you choose this particular educational choice for your children. I don't know why you make these certain choices about your entertainment, about your finances, about your politics, about alcohol. I don't understand that. But you know what? I'm going to give you the grace before the Lord. And I'll be glad to come alongside you, encourage you. And if I'm concerned, you know, but I need to do that in love, not because I want to make that person do what I think is right, but rather because I want the best for them and I love them. And if I love them, I'm going to come to them in a loving way. You see, putting one another first means I don't always get my way. That's not a popular choice. But that's what the Lord says in these three commands. I believe that's what He's saying. We don't get our own way every time. You know, we teach our children. We spank our children, or at least put them in time out if they think they get their way all the time. But then as adults, we feel like we ought to get our way. At least when we come and meet together with the saints, it ought to be my way or the highway. All right, we're closing here. Here's a quote by John Wesley back in the 1700s. He pleads to the people of God, though we cannot think alike, he acknowledges that, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion? Though we think differently, though we have different opinions, can't we love each other? Can't we have a united heart? So the question for each of us this morning, will we commit to putting one another first? Can you imagine the answer to this question? What would Shannon Hills Bible Chapel look like if we all obeyed these three verses? Can you imagine? Do you think we would have room in this building for the people who'd want to come in here? No way. You could not fit the people in this room. If that was true, if we all obeyed those three commands, everybody be wanting to get in, not everybody, but a lot of people would be wanting to get in on that. These people love you. And they're not demanding that it's got to be their way. Now again, the essentials, hey, that's going to cull out some people. Our convictions, oh, that's going to keep a few away, maybe a lot. But there are going to be plenty of people who love the Lord and who are willing to say, hey, these people don't force me to toe their line. They don't force me to dress like they do. They don't put the pressure on me and make me feel guilty because I have a different choice in a particular area that's not directly spoken to by the Lord. That's a good question. So here's the final question. We'll close with this. What specific commitment will you make in order to take a step forward in putting one another first? I just want you to come up with one specific commitment you're going to make. I was going to make a joke. I was going to say, I promise next week I won't go overtime. I'm not speaking next Sunday morning, son. So that's not really fair. But thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace toward me and allowing me to get through and finish up sharing this. I do appreciate it. I don't take it lightly. I don't mean to do it. It's not my intention, but I wanted to get through. So anyway, just think about this. Dave, we're gonna bypass the verse today because I want to let you get on out. We're going to close with a short word of prayer. You just meditate on this, if you will. It's my request. If you don't, that's your business between you and the Lord. Thank you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for how it examines us when we open ourselves up. And thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that helps us to make application. Lord, help us as we seek in this local church, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Father, we pray that we might prefer one another. Prefer one another. Father, that we might esteem one another better, that we might even submit to one another. And Father, there may be some unsaved in this room this morning, and they're really thinking this is strange. Father, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts and draw them to the Lord Jesus. Father, help them to know the joy of being saved, the joy of being told hard things and hearing difficult, unpopular things and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for caring so much for me that you do this. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that salvation is a gift. It's a gift. It's not of works. We love you. Thank you for that essential. It can't be of works. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus who made it all possible. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you very much.